struggle with scarcity. There never seems to be enough money or time, resources or people to get done what needs to be done. Making ends meet can be a real struggle. I can remember the days early in my ministry when either I or the church I was serving didn't know how we were going to make it. One week I remember in my second church, my second appointment, we didn't know where we were going to get the money to pay the light bill. We were struggling. We were afraid. I remember walking in every day looking at my secretary and she'd shake her head. Nothing. The mail hadn't run yet that day. Nothing. Nothing brought in. Nothing. And I went back into my office and I sat down and I thought and I prayed, God, please. And maybe a half hour later, I got a knock on my door and my secretary stepped in, looked at me, held up an envelope and said, "You'll never believe what just came in the mail." And sure enough, I remember we had to pay that bill. We didn't have the money in the account. And this was before the time when you could take a picture and deposit it remotely. This was back in the 1990s, friends. And I can remember driving to the bank with tears in my eyes and a check for $2,000 to pay the light bill, to make a bit of our payroll the next week. It was a struggle. Life can be a struggle. It can be difficult to get through. It is hard to make ends meet. How can we trust God's abundance when all we see is lack, scarcity, a lack of money, of time, of resources, and of people? It may seem like we never have enough, but God's grace, we are told, is endless, boundless, and overflowing. Just like the little jar of oil and the little jug of flour in the story today, it never ends. The widow of Zarephath, Elijah had been sent to Zarephath outside of Israel during a time of great famine. Even in the best of times, life can be difficult for people. And for widows and children, things can be particularly hard. Add on a famine in the land, and the conditions have become critical, life-threateningly critical. And that was the situation that Elijah was in. That was the situation that the widow Zarephath was in. The widow in the story represents utter lack, total lack. No resources, no hope, no glimmering of hope, preparing for death with very little left, with no hope remaining. The widow's words, "I have only a little," echo our own fears in times of financial, emotional, and spiritual drought. In our times of hardship and famine, when we ask why, what happened, how could this be, what's going on, I thought I knew things better than they are, oh my goodness. In those moments when we're just beaten down and struggling even to stand, in those moments, we experience that I only have a little, and I certainly don't have enough. The modern scarcity that most of us are familiar with, struggling to pay bills, feeling emotionally drained, physically exhausted, going from day to day, waking up still tired, not knowing what's going to happen next, afraid, not having enough time. Yes, clocks keep going and going and going. Yes, a clock tells the time, the right time, twice a day, but we don't ever have enough time in there. I often joke we need to add a couple of extra hours to the morning and to the evening. Can we have a 13 o'clock and a 14 o'clock before we start over at 1? No. These things are real. This scarcity is real. This lack is real, and it plagues us. The truth that sometimes escapes us is that scarcity isn't just about what we lack materially. It's a mindset that blinds us to God's provision of grace. The scarcity mindset can hamper our ability to do anything. It can paralyze us with fear into inaction because we don't know where it's going to come from. Let me be honest with you. Last Sunday, I didn't want to come here. I didn't know where the words were going to come from for me to speak about an election that hurt. And I didn't know if I'd have the depth, the reservoir of grace to share with you. But I came, and God's grace was there in your faces, in your handshakes and embraces. God's grace was there to help me through the scarcity and the lack of hope that I was struggling with last week. That mindset that blinds us to the provision of God's grace, the scarcity mindset, can hamper our ability to do anything, to act, to move. When we only focus on what little we have, our focus is lost. It's misplaced. Our focus shouldn't be on what little we have. It should be on God's grace. It should be on each other. It should be on our opportunities. Into this situation in Zarephath comes Elijah, a prophet, probably the single most important prophet in the biblical witness. Now, we often misunderstand what prophets are. In the modern world, we think of prophets as soothsayers or people who will foretell the future. The prophet says, and then it happens. And you know that they're a prophet and they're real prophecy if what they say comes to pass. But this is a misunderstanding of what prophets are. It's like we expect them to be like the magnificent Carnac from Johnny Carson. Remember him? He wore this great big turban. He'd sit on the desk there in the on the Tonight Show, and he'd hold up an envelope that had been kept hermetically sealed in Funkin' Wagnall's jar. Remember that? And he'd hold it up to his forehead, and he'd think about it, and he'd ponder it, and then he would say, in this envelope is the words, Sis Bumba. What does that mean? Describe the sound of a sheep making, the sound a sheep makes when it explodes. Oh boy. That's not a prophet. Kerboom. No, that's not a prophet. Prophets are those who speak the truth in difficult times. The truth to the political leadership of the day, the truth to the religious leadership of the day, the truth to the people of the day. And it's usually a word you don't want to speak as the prophet, and it's a word you don't want to hear as the leadership or the people. The prophets often bring a hard message. Jeremiah had a hard calling as a prophet. He was called to destroy, overthrow, pull down. And only after that was done was he called to build and to plant. Jeremiah had a hard message. Isaiah had a hard message. Hosea, Amos, Micah, they all had hard messages. Elijah sure did, confronting the political ineptitude of the religious corruption of the day. Elijah had a hard message, and here he is in the midst of the famine, gone to Zarephath, outside of Israel, hungry and thirsty. And in this story, he almost seems like an insensitive, demanding jerk. Bring me a little water in a vessel so that I may drink. Okay, it's a famine. There's a drought going on. There's not a whole lot of water. And he makes this demand of a widow. And as she was going to bring it, he calls after her, "Oh, and bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. Feed me too." Insensitive jerk. As we quickly learn, he's demanding the last that she has. "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am now gathering a couple of sticks so that I may go home and prepare it for myself and my son, that I may eat it and die." Dire circumstances indeed. If it were me, I probably wouldn't have pushed it. I would have said, "Oh, sorry, never mind. It's okay, go away. It's okay, thank you so much, but no." But not Elijah. Instead, he invites her to exercise a little faith. "Do not be afraid. Go and do as you have said. But first, make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterwards, make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of meal will not be emptied and the jug of oil will not fail until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth, until the famine and the drought are over. The jar and the jug will not be emptied." God often calls us to step out in faith before we see God's provision. Trusting God with what little we have, our time, our energy, our money, makes room for God's abundance to show up in and for us. God's grace is endless, without limit, never ceasing. There is no such thing as a scarcity of grace. We may be scarce in sharing it with others, but God is never scarce in sharing it with us. When we say grace is for everyone, we're hinting at just that. There are a lot of people in everyone. Is anybody not included in everyone? Shake your head no. There are 8.2 billion people on the planet right now. That's a lot of people, friends. And yet, God has enough grace for every one of us, for all of us. There is no scarcity. There is no lack of grace. Something like overcoming scarcity, overcoming a meager supply of strength or energy or time or money or people, a little jar and a little jug, is difficult for us, might even be impossible for us, but not for God. Remember the story of the needle, the camel through the eye of the needle, and how impossible that is for us to get into heaven. It's easier for a camel, a great big camel with humps, to go through the eye of a tiny little needle than it is for a rich person to get into heaven. Wow. Impossible for us, but not for God. Same is true here. It might be impossible for us, but God does not know scarcity. God's supply, when we are depleted and exhausted, God's supply is non-depletable and inexhaustible. It's like the story of the multiplication of the loaves and the fish. All of the disciples were asked to give them something to eat, and they said, "We don't have anything but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And yet, Jesus told them to bring the elements there, and he blessed them and broke them and gave them back to the disciples and had them give them to the people. And more than 5,000 people were able to eat from that meager supply with more leftovers than the supply to begin with. Scarcity is a problem for us, but not for God. It's God's miraculous provision. And it happens in so many ways, often by our being here, working together, giving together, pooling our resources, being the church together, bringing about an incredible bounty of God's grace for all. When we live in faith, act in faith, collect our resources together in faith, our little jar and our little jug doesn't empty out. Oh, Greg, the jars and the jugs of our bank accounts are looking pretty thin. We're not seeing as many people here in worship as we used to see. We don't have as many youth as we used to have. We don't have the resources and the talents and the abilities to get it all done. Our little jars and our little jugs are almost empty. Yes, in the story of the widow of Zarephath, the jar and the jug were just about empty. But they weren't quite there yet. And somehow, in a way that points to God's grace in this story, they never emptied out. God's grace, God's love, God's acceptance, God's affirmation, God's ideas, God's supply, God's direction, God's mercy, God's forgiveness, God's brilliance never empties out, is never exhausted, is never failing, is never scarce. Like the widow, we are called to bring whatever little we have, our jar and our jug, to God. And when we give to God, God's grace multiplies our offering in ways that we can't predict. This is true not just about money or physical resources. This is true for time, ideas, abilities, people. I've been to meetings here at this church where we've gone in and sat down, didn't know what was going to happen, and whammo, God works a miracle in our midst, and ideas come bubbling to the surface and flowing out, and wow, God's grace is amazing. I've seen it many times. We bring our little jar and our little jug nearly empty, and God's grace overflows. Just as God's inward grace has always been with us, teaching us, nourishing us, growing us, sustaining us, inspiring us, just as God's outward grace is seen around us, especially in the hard times, feeding the hungry through the free meal, the pantry, the free community fridge, the shelter meal, providing medical care through the clinic, immigration, legal assistance. In so many ways, God's outward grace is flowing. So also God's grace is always expanding, transforming, not scarce, not meager, overwhelmingly abundant to meet our needs and the needs of others. You may have come today with a little jar and a little jug with very little in it. I know sometimes I do. But today, we hear this story about the widow of Zarephath, and we hear about God's miraculous provision of God's grace that never ends. And I pray that when we leave with a little jar and a little jug full of God's grace to share with others. We give of our time and our talents. We give of our prayers, our presence, our resources, our service, and our witness. And God expands grace. God grows grace, and God reaches more people by grace and through grace. This grace and God's grace. God's provision for the widow and her household reminds us that God's grace knows no boundaries. It extends to everyone because grace is for everyone. Even if all we have is that little jar and the little jug, we must remember that God's grace is enough for us. God's grace is enough for everyone. God's grace does not run dry. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Dwell in your presence.